Okay, welcome along, guys. My name's Peter Dowd. I've been working with Exchange ever since Exchange 4. In fact, I was working with MS Mail as well. I'm an MVP in Exchange Server. I've written courseware for Microsoft in America. I've spoken to a lot of tech heads. And I got very tired of traveling and decided to get a full-time job and work with Datacom now. And I've spent the last 5 years doing that and doing a number of Exchange 2013 implementations around New Zealand. That's probably enough about myself. What we're going to talk about today is Outlook connectivity to Exchange 2013. It's about protocols. And protocols can be not the most interesting thing to talk about, but they can be fun as well. How many people here remember Exchange 4? Okay, see, not everyone's as old as me, eh? Good on you for those who did. They'll remember that in Exchange 4, when it came out, what was the messaging protocol? Can anyone tell me? X400. What was the directory protocol? X500, yeah. So Exchange 4 comes out, and it wasn't until the later version of Exchange, 5.5, where they went, actually, SMTP is the way to go. So now we're going to not use X400, we're going to use SMTP as our mail transport. And so there was a change of protocol. And it changed because we were very land-based with Exchange 4. And so therefore, our clients were connecting directly. The protocol they were using to connect was RPC, remote procedure calls. And they would connect using, say, port 6001 or 2, and then they would get sent back from the server a whole bunch of ports that they could connect to. And that was fine in those days, but later on it started to drive our firewall guys nuts because we asked them to open up holes in the firewall this big. And yet, even though we got rid of X100 and other things like that, RPC has still been around it still is around. So let's talk a little bit about RPC. When I first got involved with RPC, it was RPC over name pipes, or RPC over net BIOS, or RPC over TCP. Most people in this room will be familiar with RPC over TCP. Exchange 2007, on-premise, and when I say on-premise, what I actually mean is your clients on your internal network, would connect using RPC over TCP. And your external clients would use Outlook Anywhere. With Exchange 2010, that was the same. With Exchange 2013, there is no longer any more RPC over TCP. Now we use Outlook Anywhere. And with Exchange 2013 SP1, as I'm going to go on to talk about in this session, I'll show you how with SP1 and Outlook 2013 SP1, it's possible for you to get completely rid of that RPC, and I'll explain the benefits to you. Of course, for those of you in the cloud and Office 365, you don't need to worry about this. It's all done for you by Microsoft. You just need to worry about the client. So I've mentioned RPC over TCP. Now we're going to talk about, that's gone. We're going to talk about Outlook Anywhere now. So what is Outlook Anywhere? It's something that we've been using for a while for all of our remote clients. And when I say remote, I mean outside of our firewall. It's a half duplex protocol. That word MAPI is still there, and MAPI still is there in MAPI over HTTP, obviously, which we're going to come on to talk about. But let's give you a quick overview of Outlook Anywhere. It's a half-duplex protocol. Because it's a half-duplex protocol, what that means is that even though we've got one RPC session, we need two HTTP sessions, one in and one out. The MAPI traffic is encapsulated within the RPC protocols, which in turn are encapsulated within the HTTP protocols. So our client will do a MAPI request, encapsulate an RPC, encapsulate HTTP, which will get to the server, the RPC proxy DLL will take that apart and pass it on to Exchange. And then when Exchange responds, the whole process happens in reverse. So how can we configure Outlook Anywhere? There's two ways of doing it. The one with the most options is the Set Outlook Anywhere Exchange Management Shell command. How many of you have configured it? You have used this command, yeah. How many of you have had problems with Kerberos? Anybody? Yeah, been there too. So if we go into the Exchange admin console, then, and we configure, we go along to the servers, we come down, we choose the server itself, we configure Outlook Anywhere per server, and we will configure an external and an internal URL. And it's important that we configure both of these URLs. You can get issues, and I'm saying, and this is really a bit of a kind of a heads up for many of you. If you use the same internal and external URL, what'll happen is your, and I'll show this in a bit more detail in a second, but what'll happen is your Outlook client will do an auto-discover. It'll auto-discover, it'll get the external and internal URL. It'll try the internal URL first. That's what it does. And hey, guess what? It works because you've got the same internal and external in your DNS. So it's going to think, awesome, I can use Kerberos. And then you can start getting issues. So I do recommend that you use different internal and external URLs. So auto-discover itself, and I'll show you a little bit more detail about this. What we've done here is we've run the commandlet get Outlook Anywhere, and we've piped it through to format list, and we've said show us the lines that have got the string intern star or extern star in them, and that's a good way of finding it out. So what we can see now is our Outlook Anywhere setting on a server, and you can do this on a server by server basis. This is just for one server environment. We can see the internal host name, we can see the authentication method, and we can see do the internal or external required clients require SSL. This is a good way to configure it. We've got NTLM on the inside, not negotiate, which can cause other issues, which I'll talk about in a later session that I'm doing at 11:55. And for our external clients, obviously, we're going to negotiate. They're going to get a basic authentication, which means that we want SSL to be true there. But this just kind of shows you what auto-discover will send back to the client. And this is what the client gets. And just another example here where we're looking at SSL offloading. Is this true or false? So how does Outlook Anywhere work? Okay, let's start off. So Outlook will send an auto-discover request to build the profile. So let's say this is an external client. How did it get the auto-discover? It looks to DNS, autodiscover.contoso.com. It's programmed to do that. Those of you who use test connectivity within Outlook will be familiar with that. Does everyone know how to look at the connectivity in Outlook? Yeah, not everybody's hands up, okay. What you do, and I can't demo it, okay, is when Outlook's running, open up your little system tray, and there'll be a little Outlook icon in there. Hold down the control key, and then right-click on the Outlook icon, and you get two extra things, test connectivity and connection status. Test connectivity is awesome. It will come back with all this information, and your connection status is really important, and you'll see that later in the when I talk about mapping over HTTP. Okay, anyway, so Outlook's gone to DNS. It's got its auto-discover request because it needs to build its profile. The client access server is configured with an internal external hostname of mail.contoso. Not best practice, but makes it easy to kind of show on this slide. The authentication set to negotiate, and it requires SSL. So now the CAS authenticates the user. And the CAS will now proxy the auto discover request to the mailbox role. With Exchange 2013, there's a lot of proxying going on. And if any of you are keen to know how this proxying works and what have you, my architecture session at 11:55 goes into great depth on it, particularly those of you who are in coexistence scenarios. So our CAS has proxied the request, it's gone to the mailbox role. And based upon the authenticated user, then auto discover will retrieve all the mailbox settings. So this has gone to AD for that information. XML file is sent back by the mailbox server to the CAS. And now Outlook client is going to build a profile based upon the Outlook Anywhere URL, which is mail.conso.com, negotiate, it gets a certificate, as you know, and then it gets the Exchange server. Now, can you see how in here, and this is new to Exchange 2013, we've got a mailbox grid. Users don't see this, don't worry, but you guys will see this when you look at the connectivity in Outlook. Anybody seen the mailbox grid and wonder what it was? Yeah. So the mailbox grid, what it does is it means that in working with a mailbox grid, we're not tying this mailbox to a server or a database. We're given a mailbox grid. And in doing it that way, it means that when we start moving mailboxes around or failing over, our Outlook users don't get those horrible messages. You know, you need to restart Outlook and administrators made a change. So that's a really good reason for using the grid. So why do we have the at contoso.com? The reason for it is that, and the easiest example is imagine Office 365. You've got a multi-tenanted servers there. And so to deal with that multi-tenancy, then that gets added to the address. Outlook now builds the URL, mail.conso, RPC, and the mailbox grid. And it will connect to the server by using that. And see how it opens a RPC data in and an RPC data out. There's two two connections open there. So now the Exchange front-end proxy DLL will retrieve the mailbox from AD and generate a new URL, which you'll see down there. And now we've actually got the server name in there. So before this, we didn't know what the server was, and we shouldn't have known either, because we can let the CAS active manager look to see which server has got the active copy of this mailbox grid. It finds it out, and so it sends it back to the Outlook client. It says, this is the server, and it builds that. Now the Exchange front-end proxy opens, connections on port 444, using RPC. RPC proxy passes the headers and passes the RPC request to the client access service. So now the access service retrieves the mailbox content and sends it back. So this is the same for all the connections that are made by the client. And as you know, there's a number. You'll have the mailbox one, maybe more than one mailbox session. You'll have the address book, which has been proxied by the Exchange server, and maybe public folder. Okay, this is something that I kind of briefly touched upon, Kerberos authentication. If you've got this enabled, you're going to have issues accessing Exchange 2010 or Exchange 2007 resources. And I put this slide on here because I think some of you may hit this when you're upgrading to 2013 in a coexistence scenario, and there's the KB article, so you know where to go. So what are the basics for administration? Follow your best practices. Always update your Outlook client to the latest product update. Certificates. Okay, make sure they're valid. All these external clients, in fact, the internal clients are connecting and they are using SSL. And so it requires that the certificate is valid. Also, we need our subject names in the subject alternate name on the certificate as well. If you do change Outlook Anywhere settings, it can take quite a while for them to actually kind of show on some of your clients. Remember, we're changing stuff in Active Directory, so we'll rely on Active Directory replication and what have you. So, on the server, go into IIS Admin and verify the changes that you've made in Outlook Anywhere with PowerShell are, first of all, in there, and also they're replicated around your forest. Restart your Exchange host service to force IIS update if it hasn't, and recycle the order discover app pool on the mailbox role to clear the caching. You'll kind of kick this on a little bit. And then if you test on a client, restart the Outlook clients at your test clients, and that will force the auto discover to happen. Remember, if you go into your client and you change some of the settings, and you're currently set to negotiate, and you go, I don't want to negotiate, it's causing problems, I'll use NTLM. And you go back to Outlook 5 minutes later, and it's changed again. It's because auto-discover has gone in and changed it. Auto-discover doesn't just happen when Outlook first starts. So there's a number of troubleshooting tools here, guys. The Outlook Connectivity Guide walkthrough, and I've given links here. For those of you on Office 365, although you shouldn't have too many problems there, the Configuration Analyzer tool. This little kind of screenshot I've got here is showing you what you will see with the Outlook connectivity. That's where you right-click on Outlook in your system tray and choose connection status. And what you'll see here is that the proxy server is mail.pfdlabs.local, and negotiation is set to anonymous. And of course, you can always turn on debugging, which is in the Exchange installation folders. So to summarize with Outlook Anywhere, keep Outlook out to date, configure it correctly, and remember that you're using auto-discover. That's kind of all I'm going to say, because this session is mainly about mapping over HTTP. So just to kind of recap on this, Exchange 2013 uses Outlook Anywhere everywhere. It doesn't use RPC over TCP. It uses Outlook Anywhere. However, when you upgrade to Exchange 2013 SP1, which is cumulative update 4 and came out earlier this year, you do have the ability, if you wish, to use MAPI over HTTP. You do need Outlook 2013 SP1 as well, and you do need to enable it. It's not an automatic thing. And the reason this session is important is that this is how Microsoft and the product group have invested. So this is going to be the protocol of the future for Exchange. MAPI over HTTP. And when I talk about it, you'll see why they've gone that way and why it makes so much sense. I'll give you a quick example. When you're working with RPC, you're using a protocol that was written years and years and years ago, as you know, over 20 years ago, 30 years ago maybe. There are tens of thousands of applications out there that rely upon RPC. For the Exchange product group to go and make a change to RPC, they've now got to test compatibility with thousands of applications and, you know, oh, you can't do that, you're going to break this, you can't do that, you're going to break this. So the product group wanted to bring it in-house. And in doing MAPI, which they own, over HTTP, which is a well-known protocol and is used everywhere widely, they maintain that ownership. And so every time I've spoken to the product group or heard them discussing it or seen anything online, you know, it's been emphasized that this is the protocol going forward. A lot of investment in this protocol. Why MAPI over HTTP? This is kind of going back to the beginning of when I started talking. Here's a building, a premise with Outlook clients connecting. Makes sense to use RPC in that situation. We've got great bandwidth. We've got no latency. But is that... That was how the world was, but this is how the world is now. If you're Office 365, then you're going to be a remote client over a network with interruptions on it, potentially, with high latency on it. Look at some of these situations where people really do access Outlook. They're on a Wi-Fi on an aeroplane, going to a satellite, going to the internet, going to Office 365, or going to their on-prem exchange. Everything I say here is the same as on-prem for Office 365. Maybe we're in our Wi-Fi. Hit a problem with a customer, I'm not going to mention the name, last week. They've got Windows 8.1 running on tablets, and the way Outlook Anywhere was configured meant that when they walked across the building and they went from one Wi-Fi hotspot to another Wi-Fi hotspot, they were asked to log in again. And they kept trying to log in, but it wouldn't let them. Anybody seen that? Yep. Yep. Painful, isn't it? Yeah. And it was to do with the Outlook Anywhere authenticate. If ever you see that, guys, whereby, you know, you're trying to log in and it comes up, whoa, and you put your credentials in. It's not, you haven't got your password wrong. It can't authenticate because it's trying to authenticate with the wrong mechanism. So that's how you start troubleshooting that one. So with things like MAPI over HTTP, we get rid of all these problems, and you'll see when we get onto it. So our customers, or you, if you are customers, you don't care about what protocol you use. You just want Outlook to connect. You don't care. But you do care about getting a better user experience. And with the networks that we are now utilizing, MAPI over HTTP is a lot better. And I'm going to talk about it, but for example, the session has been removed from the connection. What I mean by that is that when you connect with RPC, you've got a session. If the connection drops, RPC starts from scratch. Has to authenticate again. And that can take a long time. With HTTP, it's stateful, but it's connectionless, which means if your connection drops, then the next packet that goes through is just, hey, you know, it's stateful, but connectionless, so it's okay to lose your connection. So there's an immediate win by doing this. So we're going to get faster connect times to exchange, and it's designed, as I explained, for wireless and remote connectivity. Some of you have probably seen that Azure is now offering multi-factor authentication. And that is also being offered by Office 365, slowly. And the reason for that is because MAPI over HTTP. We can now, I mean, imagine with Outlook, with RPC, you want to do multi-factor authentication. I mean, loads of people want this, right? You know, you go into, I work in Wellington, and I'll go to any of the, like, Parliament or... DIA or defense, and they really don't want single-factor authentication on their Outlook clients. They've got to, Oh, it's great. They can get dual-factor authentication there by using Secure ID or other methods, but you can't get it with Outlook because of the RPC. Now it is possible, and we're going to see a lot of developments in this area whereby your users and our customers can get multi-factor authentication. Single sign-on. What I mean by that is that once you've signed on, there's not two sessions like with RPC, and if your connection drops, then that's not a problem because the session remains. These are some of the innovations that can be done by Microsoft now by moving to this. It's much simpler, And probably the way to think of it is, it's similar to Outlook Web Access and Exchange Web Services. You know, I mean, I know a lot of you will have seen the situation where it's like, why is it we connect to Exchange with OWA but not with Outlook? And what I've been discussing is kind of the root of a lot of those issues. So what is it? What is MAPI over HTTP? It's a replacement for Outlook Anywhere. It's based upon the HTTP 1.1 protocol. It uses HTTPS web requests. And it's using well-known verb, the post verb, like ActiveSync. It's a well-known verb. It's easy to troubleshoot. It's easy to do diagnostics on. And as I said before, and I keep harping on about it, it's connectionless but still stateful. In other words, if the connection drops, the state remains and the session remains. This was Outlook Anywhere. We've got the MAPI request encapsulated within the RPC packets. And they are further encapsulated within HTTP. Let's have a look at how simpler MAPI over HTTP is. First thing, there's only one connection here. It is a full duplex connection. So there's no need to have two connections. We've got our MAPI instructions encapsulated directly within HTTP, which means our clients can now talk straight to the server through HTTP and all the benefits that we get. Remember, you do need Exchange 2013 SP1 and Outlook 2013 SP1 to manage this. Yeah, I see this a lot in organizations as well, whereby somebody says, I haven't got that email, and Outlook's still running quite happily, but it's not actually connected to the server, and there's no kind of error messages coming up. Again, one of those RPC issues, and it can create an infinitely long request response. You see, with HTTP, there's a lot of chatter. So I, as a client, say to the server, please would you do this for me? And the server goes back, yep, I'm working on that. That's where RPC kind of ends. With HTTP, it's working on that, working on that, working on that, working on that. And if the client doesn't hear her working on that, then it goes, well, my connection's dropped, and it will send another request. Let's have a look at MAPI over HTTP and auto-discover. So we've got Outlook 2013 SP1, Exchange 2013 SP1. So the Outlook client, remember it's 2013 SP1, goes, hey, I'm MAPI over HTTP compatible. Whoa! The Exchange server, if it hasn't been updated to Service Pack 1, I don't know what you're on about. And so the client will fall down to Outlook Anywhere. However, in this case, Exchange 2013 is on Service Pack 1. And so it goes, yep, here's my auto-discover response with MAPI over HTTP info. And now Outlook will connect to Exchange using MAPI over HTTP. So let's say that you guys decide, yep, we really want to implement this in our organization. This is great. We're getting RPC errors all over the place. User base has changed now. There are more people on tablets traveling around, but they want the full Outlook client. So we want to make use of this immediately. I'll talk about how you implement it, but just one little thing there, which you might be wondering on this slide, is the user asked to restart Outlook? And the answer was, when Service Pack 1 first came out, yes, they were. They were told, hey, you've lost connection, please restart Outlook. Now, if you've got the latest product updates for Outlook 2013 SP1, they're not asked that anymore. What actually happens is Outlook goes, hey, so Exchange has been upgraded to Service Pack 1, and the client was already upgraded to Service Pack 1, but when the client connected, Exchange hadn't been upgraded, for example. So what happened, or it had been upgraded, but we hadn't enabled MAPI over HTTP. So what happens when we enable MAPI over HTTP? Nothing. The next time the user starts Outlook, then they will be using MAPI over HTTP. So you've got no impact on users. I guess that's what I'm saying here. And that's describing where Outlook's restarted. So let's look at some of the benefits, because it's easy for me to stand up here and say, yeah, it's better. And if I was a Microsoft person, you might even think I was marketing. Okay. So let's have a look at some real... Now, these results are done by the Exchange product group during the dog food of SP1. And if you have a look at this now, these graphs can be quite hard to see, but the blue is MAPI over HTTP, and the red is Outlook Anywhere. And we're looking at the number of seconds to start synchronizing once the client had started. And you see that in every case, MAPI over HTTP is an improvement. And if you start looking at some of these figures, for example, you'll see that 60%, if I look at 60% of the left graph, so 60% of clients with MAPI over HTTP are starting in less than 15 seconds. With Outlook Anywhere, that's only 50%. So you can see the improvements there. The pause resume is improvements, and new connections are also improved. Let's have a look for starting synchronization from Outlook starting up. Again, the blue is Outlook Anywhere, and the red is MAPI over HTTP. So here's kind of, you know, results showing that. And Microsoft did this across about 90,000 users within their organization. So we've got faster connect time. If we look at, so on this graph, we've got Outlook Anywhere on the left, MAPI over HTTP on the right. Over a two-week period, with half the users using Outlook Anywhere, half using MAPI over HTTP. And let's look at what their result. So red is bad, green is good. And you'll see that with Outlook Anywhere, probably had about 30% of people less than 1 second, whereas we're up to more than 50% with MAPI over HTTP. And if you look at the real pain point, you know, kind of the pink and red, then that's reduced by about 10% as well. But we're not going to get rid of all problems here. You know, somebody's on a slow network, they're on a slow network. We can just make it a better experience for them. So MAPI over HTTP is a long-term replacement for Outlook Anywhere. Obviously, Microsoft are going to continue using Outlook Anywhere, and it will be supported for a long time. But slowly, as they improve the product, then things that can take advantage of this protocol will be the things that will get developed. Outlook 2010 currently doesn't support MAPI over HTTP, and as far as I know today, it still doesn't. However, support is planned. It shipped with Exchange 2013, and it's off by default. Sorry, Exchange 2013 SP1 off by default, and I'll show you how to turn it on in a second. And MAPI over HTTP has been rolled out right now in phases throughout Office 365. So if any of you are on Office 365, then I encourage you to update your client to Outlook 2013 SP1. So how do we deploy and manage MAPI over HTTP? So first of all, guys, read this article. Those of you who think they're doing it, please read this article that's on this slide. It goes into great depth about it. Having said that, it's pretty simple stuff. There's nothing huge here. Do install the .NET Framework 4.51 for optimal MAPI performance. I'll talk about that in a second. Upgrade your CAS and mailbox servers to Exchange 2013 SP1. It doesn't really matter which order you do those things in. Microsoft used to tell us to upgrade the CASs first, now they're saying to upgrade the mailbox service first, and there's a number of reasons for that, but it doesn't matter too much. And upgrade your Outlook client. So let's have a look at this. The bit on the left is without .NET 5.1. And the bit on the right is user experience with .NET 4.51. Turns out there's a bug prior to .NET 4.51 in the .NET framework, whereby some of the things that we were talking about weren't being taken advantage of, and it was trying to create new threads too often and what have you. So prior to .NET 4.51, there's some poor Outlook user experience. After 4.51 has been installed, you can see the improvement there. Green's good, red is bad on this slide. So, we're all ready, we're all good, and we want to install it. We've got Service Pack 1 onto our Exchange 23 environment. We've got our clients updated to Outlook 2013 SP1. What do? So we configure the MAPI HTTP virtual directory on all our client access servers. And we use a new command, and that new command is set MAPI virtual directory. And this will now enable it. Now, this command I've got here doesn't do an internal and an external URL, so it's not best practice. You will do both. But I just wanted to make it short on the screen. So we'll set the MAPI virtual directory. The identity of it is organization/MAPI default website. Put an internal and external URL and IIS authentication connection methods to negotiate. Any certificate that we've got on our CAS server must include the internal and the external URL. And it must be trusted by Outlook as well. I think most people know this. Verify. Just as an aside here, guys, because I know we're all Exchange people, right? Okay. We can get Exchange into an organization 2 weeks, eh? Yeah? How long does the change control take on the firewall rules? Does anybody know what I'm on about? I'm not saying it's not important. I'm just saying it's what makes my life. Okay. So make sure that your load balancers, reverse proxies, and firewalls are configured to allow access to that MAPI HTTP virtual directory. UAGSP 3 is not compatible, even if you turn off all the filtering options and disable them. But support is coming for those of you who've got UAGSP 3. Okay, so now we've configured our MAPI virtual directory. We've set the internal external URL and the authentication method. So now what we need to do is enable it. Now, at the moment, we can only enable it for the organization. That is going to change. Microsoft are working on that. But for now, last thing we do on the server is set organization config minus MAPI HTTP enabled $true. And there we go. We've done it. We've enabled it. I like easy things too. So now we need to test end-to-end MAPI over HTTP connectivity. How many of you play with these probes? No hands. You should, guys. These probes are really good. It's something that one of the first things I will do when I get to a customer site, and I tend to be called in on P1s a lot by Datacom for some of the customers, and this is one of the first things I'll run is test Outlook connectivity, run it from server ID, probe identity, and then you can use all your different protocols here, Outlook MAPI HTTP self-test probe. Okay, you must have the Exchange Health Manager started on the server, but if you run that, then it will give you a wonderful breakdown of what it tried, what failed, what succeeded, what failed, et cetera, et cetera. Install your MAPI over HTTP logs. They're in a new folder, the Exchange install path log in HTTP proxy MAPI, and for your mailbox as well. And check that Outlook connection status dialog. Let's have a look at that. The connection status dialog, and this is the one that I've been telling you about, where you open the system, the status bar, and you write, and you hold down control and you right click and you go show Outlook connectivity status. The box at the top is, which one do you think? Outlook Anywhere. And the reason it's Outlook Anywhere is because we've got a proxy server there. We don't have that with MAPI over HTTP. You'll see the proxy server's empty. It's because the session is being held on the mailbox in HTTP. So even though it's going through the CAS, and the CAS you could kind of say is proxying, you don't have a proxy server. The endpoint is on the mailbox role. Benefit immediately if you lose a CAS, connection stays on. Talk about that at 11:55. Also, you'll see the protocol is HTTP and not RPC over HTTP. And finally, the server name. No GUID in there anymore. You can actually see the server that you're connected to because you've got the connection with the server. Okay. This is some of those slides that are made in America. And you kind of will come to Tech Ed in New Zealand and think, well, is that another world or what? Okay. However, we'll go through them anyway because they are important. So, just out of interest, how many of you have implemented Exchange 2013 servers? Okay, about 10% of the audience. 2010? Wow, about 60%. How many of you, both groups that have answered, have got all roles on one server? Brilliant. You're doing it right. That is the way to do it. Now, that is the Microsoft came out and said that halfway through Exchange 2010, and certainly with 2013. It makes no sense to have the roles separate, have all the roles on the same server. Talk about that at 11:55. So for multi-role deployments, in other words, for most of us in this room, whereby we've got the hub transport, we're talking 2013, so we've got the mailbox and the front-end server role on the same box. Then after HTTP, MAPI over HTTP had been implemented, some of their customers started to see the CPU intensity creep up a little. Okay, now, it's very rare in New Zealand that I'll see an Exchange server where you're starting to hit 100% because we just don't have the user numbers. And just to give you an idea, with Exchange 2013 SP1, they recommend that we have a 1-to-4 CAS to mailbox processor core ratio. So we've got, for every CAS core we've got, we can have 4 mailbox cores. That has changed with Exchange 2013 SP1 running MAPI over HTTP. It's now a 3-to-8 ratio of CAS to mailboxes. So a customer who had 23 CASs in their site, 23 CASs, can you imagine? Imagine how many mailboxes they had. They'd have 4 times that. Okay. Would need to increase to 33 CASs a site. Now, I don't think this is going to affect many people in the room. Some of the service providers who are providing cloud hosting services in New Zealand that are due to multi-tenancy, then perhaps, you know, like Datacom do, for example, then they may need to kind of look at this. But most of you in the room probably don't need to. So let's look at the performance with a perfect network. Higher CPU usage is due to a higher request rate. There's more kind of chatter and there's more traffic going on that. And there's a 50% increase in the CAS CPU requirements. However, less memory is used. So once we've got more processor, we can actually reduce our memory on our servers. There's a lower connection count point due to request response notification pattern, obviously. So we've got less connections. RPC had two, remember? Mappy over HTTP has one. And there is more traffic over the wire due to all this extra information that's in the Mappy over HTTP headers. I'm not talking about a huge amount. You know, kind of 2-3%, kind of that area. So what about you guys who are on Office 365? You don't have to worry about it. All that stuff I just said, don't worry about it. Let the cloud people worry about that for you. Those of you on Office 365, this has been done for you by Microsoft already. Just turn on Auto Discover on Outlook, and it'll do all the work for you. And allow Outlook and Exchange to negotiate the best protocol to use. Remember, you know, one day when Microsoft gets around to doing your servers, then it will just be turned on. Do deploy the latest Outlook 2013 updates. This way you're taking advantage of the continuing improvements to Outlook. So what's next for MAPI over HTTP? Okay, so Outlook accessing legacy public folders using RPC when the org is enabled for MAPI over HTTP, that has been fixed in cumulative update 5. So when I said that you guys need to go to SP1, which is Exchange 2013 cumulative update 4, if you still want access to legacy public folders from your external clients using MAPI over HTTP, you will need to go to cumulative update 5 for Exchange 2013. And the latest public update in May, well, not the latest, but the update for Outlook in May this year, got rid of that restart prompt. So what's Microsoft going to do next? What are the products doing next? What are they working on right now? So at the moment, if you're in the Exchange Admin Center, the EAC, which is that lovely web interface we go to manage Exchange, there is no MAPI Virtual Directory at the moment. That will be added. How many people use testconnectivity.microsoft.com? Good. 50% of the room. It's awesome, eh? It's so good. For those of you who don't use it, okay, it's a place you go to, and if you just Bing Test Outlook Connectivity, it will give you the... and if you're using Link or Exchange with OWA, Exchange Active Sync, Exchange Web Services, whatever, you just put in some credentials with a password and try and connect from Microsoft. And it comes into your internal organization where you're testing it, it will give you great results. At the moment, that isn't there for MAPI over HTTP, but it will be added. Microsoft are looking at, remember when I said when you turn it on for the whole organization? Currently, feedback from a number of customers to the product group is that they're actually like server or per user settings to enable that. So that's been investigated. And that chattiness that I talked about, pushing up the CPUs, Microsoft are working on that to drive down that utilization. So, summary. So we're kind of in another world now. We're in a very different world. And this has been explained to you by a lot of people here at TechEd and presenters, and there were some great keynotes where they discuss this. We've gone from a world whereby we were all on reliable, fast networks, and we're now wanting access to our email from everywhere. The BYOD, bring your own device. We want it on airplanes, on Wi-Fi, you know, kind of places that we never dreamed of before. Now, Exchange needs to move to keep up with that. And this is Exchange moving to keep up with that. And it is a long-term replacement for Outlook Anywhere. You guys are going to see benefits from it with more reliable connections, less hassle with Outlook, prompts that Outlook needs to be restarted because of a connection failure, long timeouts, what have you. And it's been designed for smooth deployment. As I explained, you know, if a client can't connect using MAPI over HTTP, it will drop down to Outlook Anywhere. So we've got this coexistence. It's not a, you know, let's move everybody there in one way. And if you did have issues, which I don't think you would be quite easy to turn it off. You just run that command and which was to enable MAPI for your organization, and dollar false on it instead of true. So guys, I do recommend that you enable MAPI over HTTP for your organization, and there's an article there. And that takes us to questions. And it's, we've got about 8 minutes. So I've finished nicely on time for you guys, so you can get out there quick and you will get the best cakes and you'll be in the coffee queue first. And some of you were out late last night, so you're probably glad of that. Yeah. Gentlemen at the first, I'll repeat the question.
Just a question around getting to Office after 2030. Do you have to go Office 2030 to get it, or can you get out of 2030 without Office 2030?
So the question was, get into Outlook 2013. Do you need to have the full Office Outlook 2013, or do you need to go, or can you just have Outlook 2013? That's a great question. I'll explain why it's a great question, because it might give you guys a little bit of a heads up to some issues I had. So the answer is you can stay on Office 2010 and just upgrade your Outlook to Outlook 2013 Service Pack 1. Yep, you can do that. That's not a problem. I was working with Link, and I had a customer, and this is kind of related. And they said, we want to stay on Office 2010, but we want to use Link 2013 and Enterprise Voice, and we want the Link 2013 client because it's way better. Yep, you can do that, no problem. So we rolled out Link 2013, and then there were some issues with Link 2013 whereby you didn't always see who was calling you the first time. You saw the number but not their name, and then next time they called you, you saw their name, and that was fixed with Service Pack 1. So you've got to roll out now Service Pack 1 for Office 2013 when you've only got one client that's running Office 2013. So you've now got Office 2010 running underneath all the other products, and you've got Office 2013 with SP1 on the top. What happened was that caused some issues with some security in there, and people lost connectivity to SharePoint. Now, there is KB articles on that. But I guess what I was saying there, because Peter asked that question, is if some of you do want to go out there and just roll out Office Outlook 2013 with SP1, then I have once come across problems with that, and it wasn't huge, and there's KB articles on it, and we had to disable something. I forget, it was the desktop team that did it. Did that answer your question, sir? Thank you. Any other questions, guys? Got a hand there at the front. Sorry? Yes. Okay, so the question was, MAPI, was UAG SP3 not supporting MAPI over HTTP? Does TMG, yes? Yes, sir? Okay, so the question was, with the certificates over for MAPI over HTTP, and remember, the only certificate SAN names you need to add are the internal and the external URL. And the question was, will it work with a wildcard certificate? And the answer to that is yes, it will. But there are a number of things, not with Exchange, but with Link and things like that, that don't work with wildcard certificates. So I wouldn't change to a wildcard certificate for that. Yeah. I'd stay with whatever you're using at the moment. But that you've opened up a whole can of worms there with wildcard certificates. Because, you know, some mobile devices don't support them. So here's me saying Exchange does, but then one of you could go, but I'm on Windows Mobile 5, it doesn't. So, yeah. Any other question? Okay, I'll let you go, guys, because I want you to be first in the queue. If anybody's got a question, feel free, come up the front, and I'll happy to talk to them. Thank you for coming along.